Hello, I see you're interested in the Corsa with
mobile connectivity.
Exactly.
And advanced European engineering for a fun dynamic drive.
All for just £149 initial rental, then £149 a month.
Really?
Search Corsa Energy. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903. Personal contract hire offer on Corsa 3-door Energy 1.4 75 PS in metallic paint. Initial rental £149 plus 47 months at £149. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 20,000 over 48 months, charged at 5 pence per mile. You will not own the car. T's and C's apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Offer not available with free insurance.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 727. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, the Gamertag Radio crew. Let's start out with Paris. What's going on, Paris?
You know, it was kind of cool that you shared that BioShock Infinite review episode from 2000. It was, matter of fact, it was April Fool's Day, which I guess was very fitting. April Fool's Day 2013, which is basically my unofficial joining with Gamertag Radio, because it was after that episode that I officially joined, and I listened to it from start to finish. And it's just funny how 5 years have passed and how some things have stayed the same and some things have completely changed. Like, Danny still interrupts people. That has not changed at all. Okay. I was like PC. I came on talking about PC gaming. I had got rid of my Xbox 360 at that point. I was very skeptical of getting either the Xbox One or the PS4 at launch, which, looking back now, I was right. Because I didn't. The only reason I had an Xbox One at launch is because Microsoft gave me one, and I didn't get the PS4 at launch. And it's just funny. It's just funny how things work. And just the praises we were singing to BioShock Infinite at that time, which a lot of it still holds up for me. I will still say it was definitely one of the best games I played of the last generation. But The irony is the DLC ruined it. The DLC made it a lesser experience than what it was from the original game, in my opinion, because, and I won't spoil it for people that haven't played BioShock Infinite, but we found out things about Elizabeth that I just wish I never knew. And it kind of changes my perception of BioShock Infinite a little bit. But that was a cool little trip down memory lane, being able to listen to that episode.
Dope, dope. And also we have Pete in the house.
What's up, Peter? What's up?
I know you also listened to episode.
Yeah,
right?
That was that. Like Per said, it was an interesting trip down memory lane. I wouldn't say that was your first official return. It would be the one after that, because that was the one that was the catalyst for us to pry you back from the clutches of retirement. So
no, that's what I was saying. That was kind of my unofficial joining, because then after that is when I joined. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. And then what was it you said? It was like, wow, Pete sounds like he's 13. You sound like you're talking through
like a
Nintendo Wii mic or something.
I think
in a string.
Yeah, I think I was doing smoke signals to get the audio over there. I don't know what
carrier pigeons with Morse code and something like that.
And believe it or not, I think Mandy and Possing at that time, they were using the Rock Band mic to record the podcast, because we didn't have the same mics at all.
Yeah,
everybody had different mics at that time, you know. So
yeah, I was still living in memories. Jupiter at the time. That was 4 years ago now. Yeah, because the game
because
2018, but like March 2018 will be 5 years since that, because that's when March 2013 was when Infinite came out, BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, and that episode was April 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Cool, man. All right, head over to GamertagRadio.com. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Make sure to go over there and subscribe, share it. If you're listening to through iTunes. Make sure to post your review and help us out. Help us out. Spread the word. Remember, February 9th, we're going to be recording for the first time in 13 years. We're going to record our first Gamertag Radio live podcast in front of an audience. That's going to be very interesting. In Orlando during a PodFest. So for more information, go to podfest.us. I'm excited because I think this is going to be the first time that we're all going to be together in Florida. We've never been together in this area. So I'm very excited to see Paris there. And I see Pete all the time, so he doesn't count. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm super excited that we're gonna all of us gonna get together and stuff, man. So I'm nothing too. I'm still editing the documentary. I made some major changes, and I think I'm good with this version. This is the third version already. So I might make a couple more minor changes, and I'm gonna release this February 25th. On our date of our birthday, 13 years, we're gonna post that up. I'm gonna have it live on Twitch, and then also you can watch it through YouTube and stuff. So more details coming soon.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yeah. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
For the first time in 13 years, the co-hosts of Gamertag Radio are going to have the first live recording in front of an audience during PodFest 2018. This live recording event is free to attend February 9th, 2018 from 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to take place at PodFest Multimedia Expo 2018 in Orlando, Florida. See Paris, Pete, and Danny live at PodFest 2018. For more information, head over to gamertagradio.com or podfest.us.
By the way, I'm not going to be on this Sunday. I'm going to New Orleans for the first time. So that's going to be fun for the Call of Duty League competition. So I'm going to be there interviewing some pro players and all that stuff. So that's going to be fun. So yeah. So let's go with the first topic here. And this was an interesting one because Paris posted this in our Discord channel. Cyberpunk, the official Twitter account, posted one short tweet. It was very short. He just put beep. That's it. After 5 years, your thoughts? Do you think major news or what?
Well, I think it is very possible that they put out a teaser like at this E3 or something like that. I still don't expect to see this game until 2020, but maybe this is the first sign of life that they'll do for Cyberpunk. Like I said, a teaser, maybe some screenshots, whatever, some concept stuff. Who knows? Maybe they go to GDC this year, talk about it there, whatever. But my bet would be E3. They just have a teaser for it just to let us know, hey, we're still here. We're still alive. Probably not say too much else the rest of this year. Then 2019, really start ramping it up and start talking about Cyberpunk and get people excited for it. Then it comes out in 2020, which, in my opinion, coincides right along with the PlayStation 5. So that would make a lot of sense to me.
Now, your opinion, do you think it would be better for them to make this announcement at their Microsoft press conference or at the PlayStation press conference to create that huge buzz?
It just depends on who they get the marketing deal with, to be honest with you. I mean, the past would say that it would show up at the Microsoft stage because that's where The Witcher 3 showed up and that's where Gwent showed up. But you know how this works. It's PlayStation.
It's all about the money.
Yeah, it's all about the money, where it would show up. Or, hey, who's to say CD Projekt Red is big enough now? They don't go either. They do their own thing. I mean, there's nothing stopping them from doing that either. And just say, be like Rockstar, just do their own thing and say, it's going to be on Xbox. It's going to be on PlayStation and PC. And maybe they even have a Switch logo up there. We don't know. You know what I mean? But, I think this is definitely the year we at least get something, not a lot, but at least something about it.
Yeah. Cause, I think, P, you were there a few times with us, right? When we went to see The Witcher 3, we saw it like four times at E3. Every year, they were just showing like, you know, a demo of the game. But it took a while for them to release the game. Look, one of the best games of this generation so far. So
I don't know if I came with you guys. It was more so after that, more for the Gwent stuff. But I do know that CDPR has a long-standing history of delivering solid, solid works of art. We saw that with Witcher 3. You can tell from the enthusiasm from Paris and I with regards to Cyberpunk. Actually, I've probably been looking forward to Cyberpunk longer than, you know, since before The Witcher came out, Witcher 3 came out. The excitement is there. The buzz is there. They're one of those triple A, I'd probably say quadruple A title development studios that essentially are on that Mount Rushmore perch, right? They're on that Mount Rushmore of developers, you know, alongside like Rockstar, that they get the pass because they always deliver. They always, you know, they always drop bombs. So yeah, the excitement is there. The hype is there. You know, now it's just, you know, itchy trigger fingers waiting for that thing to come out.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We'll see what happens. And, we'll find out during E3. Hopefully we get to see something over there, man. So Pete, this is for you, Pete. This topic right here is for you. You know Lawbreakers, guys. That game came out for the PC and PlayStation 4. I know Cliffy was the one that was involved with this game, and he was really promoting this big time. It's similar to Unreal Tournament, that type mm-hmm. of style and stuff. The sales was pretty bad. Very, very bad for this game. And basically was it the developers or yes. was it more of the publisher? Oh, actually, the publisher was blaming PUBG for the reason that this game didn't sell much.
So the purpose of them saying that, and it's a twofold way, right? Because there were other games that were that were released around the same time. You know, the popularity, not even released, but it's just you've got games that are very, very similar in play style, right? You've got like games like Overwatch, which is very similar to the game style of Lawbreakers, which already has a heavy, you know, which already has a real heavy presence in multiplayer. Then you've got games like PUBG, which had already been out. So it's not like they came out at the same time, which was kind of what was misquoted from Nexon, who is the publisher, stating that the game was, you know, released at the same time. It wasn't, right? And then you go so far as to see what the player base is like, or the concurrent player lineup is. You're going from, I mean, and this is after the fact, because PUBG is already the you know, one of the de facto heavy hitters on Steam right now for concurrent players, not to mention now everybody on Xbox. But like January 1st, there was 50 people online. Compared to 3 million mm-hmm. on PUBG. So, you know, yes, I could understand why Nexon would say something like that, but I think it's weak sauce that you're going to sit there and say the success of your game hinders on the fact that another game is already out. I mean, I see the same complaint from like Titanfall 2, because it had a poor launch window, and so it suffered as a result. But with this respect, the game was already out. You know, the game that they're complaining about. Why not mention Overwatch in that same press release?
Thank you. I was going to say that too. And plus too, Pete, this game was also available for the PlayStation 4. Dude, there's a lot of fans that play PlayStation nonstop. What happened to that? You know, there's no PUBG for PlayStation, you know? So I think it's a weak excuse, man, for them to blame another game instead of themselves, instead of them, you know, maybe it wasn't great. You know, I played the game when it first launched, right? Mm-hmm. But I felt like it was missing a lot of features. It was just like two modes, that's it. And then slowly it started adding like throughout the year and stuff. But I don't know, man. I don't know. People move on, man. They play the other games, man. You know, but don't blame it on PUBG. That's weak, man.
But if you're gonna blame it on PUBG, blame it on the rest of the games that were out at or around the same time, or were similar in vain, like in Overwatch. If you're gonna put the blame, put it on the whole genre. Don't just pigeonhole or try to throw up PUBG to try to piggyback on the successes. Now, maybe they're trying to take a page out of, you know, the Fortnite playbook. And try to, you know, but it's not going to happen. We saw that. Yes, it may have, you know, it definitely helped Fortnite with regards to publicity. But at the end of the day, it's the gameplay that's propelling the success of the game. Just because it's in the same genre, if we're talking about a game being in the same genre, then it should have succeeded on its own and not failed as bad as it did. So you see a game like Fortnite, who has a component of its game similar to PUBG, but is succeeding very, very well. It's the game.
And they're adding a lot of new stuff all the time.
Yeah, and they're doing seasons and seasonal type events and stuff like that. Again, it's the content that's going to propel your title, not other people, not you know, trying to push your blame on other people. So make your game better. Not to say that it's not a good game, because it is fun in limited doses. I just don't see the longevity of Lawbreakers, especially now in 2018, you know, trying to pit that up against the Fortnites or the Overwatches or PUBG.
All right, so I know March 20th, the Sea of Thieves games is coming out for the Xbox One, but I believe they just announced that Microsoft announced that starting January 24th all the way to the 29th, you could play this. There's going to be a closed beta for this game. I'm just curious to see what you guys think about this, man, because I know, Paris, you were kind of iffy about it at the beginning. Then you got to play it at E3, and it got your attention, right, at that time. Are you still curious about this game?
Yeah, I'm going to
try to play the.
Yeah, I'm going
to
play the closed beta. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. That'll be the next step, is to actually like play with you guys. Like, we all jump in together and actually go play Sea of Thieves and see how that goes. But like I said, when I played it at E3, I enjoyed it, and it caught me by surprise how much I enjoyed it. You know, so much so that, you know, I for sure, like, it's on my radar to pick up when it comes out in February, right? Pretty sure it's February. But when it comes
March. Is it March? March 20th.
March 20th.
Yeah, March 20th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. That's a rough window.
Wait, what's coming out that time? What's coming out around that time?
I'm pretty sure. Isn't Far Cry coming out around then? And
early March, I think, right?
Far Cry 5. God, there's something. Is it God of War? What? Something else is coming out. Something big is coming out.
This month is Monster Hunter. Yeah. Monster Hunter, and then Dragon Ball. But I'm thinking, what's coming out in March besides Far Cry?
Something's coming, and I'm not thinking of it right now. I'll think of it later. I'll look it up later. And
Monster Hunter is later this month. So
yeah, later this month. Yeah. It's this month, I said. That's the only
Far
two that
Cry
I know
5,
for this one.
Sea of Thieves. That just might, I don't know. I'm trying to see, and that's the only one that I see right now that's got a hard
Spring is tough, though. Spring.
Nino Kuni 2? Nino Kuni 2?
Okay, that's a big game. That's a big game too. Spring is tough.
Okay, here's what, according to Game Informer, Bravo Team is a VR game, Devil May Cry HD Collection, Frantix, Gollum, Attack on Titan 2, Sea of Thieves, Yakuza 6, Ni No Kuni 2, A Way Out.
Far Cry 5, The Show 18.
Yeah, Far Cry 5 and MLB The Show. Not too bad. That's not too bad.
If you pit it against the first quarter, like spring 2018, you know, you've got other games, Bayonetta 2. No, that's already out.
Well, Bayonetta is February.
Right.
1 and 2.
Yeah, I don't, you know, that might not be a bad launch window in and of itself.
It's not too bad.
Going up against Far Cry, that'll be a good test for it. If anything.
Two different games. Totally different games.
But it's still going to be a good test for the title in and of itself, just to be able to gauge sales. But if that's your launch competition, kudos to Microsoft for doing the right thing on this one, mm-hmm. and picking a soft. Not to say that Far Cry 5 is a soft title, but picking a softer release window for your title, as opposed to trying to put it up against, you know, something else within like April, May or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
Okay. Well, the most important thing to me, I think, if the game is fun and they start adding new stuff in there that's going to get a lot of people's attention, then I'm down. I'm all for it. All for it. So, but here's another game that there's a rumor that this game is coming out in March too. one of the greatest racing games of all time. Burnout Paradise remastered for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and there's also a rumor that this game is also coming out for the Nintendo Switch. Your thoughts? Because I'm hyped for this. Super hype. No comment?
I'm not hype. I don't maybe, care about Burnout. Maybe, I don't care about that title.
Burnout Paradise. Yo, it was amazing. That game. Really, Paradise. That game was awesome, man. Mm-hmm. That game was a classic for the 360.
Okay, for you, but not for me. So what do you want me to do?
Pete, you play Burnout a lot with us.
I didn't play it as much as you think. Like, it was fun, but it wasn't like a long-standing title. Like, it wasn't a title that held my attention as deep as Blur, Need for Speed Most Wanted.
There was way more stuff to do this than Blur, man. Way more stuff.
Okay.
Blur's a great game. Love the game, but not better than Burnout Paradise.
Okay.
Well, personal opinion. What was the other game you said besides Blur? What was the other one?
Like, Need for Speeds?
Yeah, that was a good one. Those were good.
And I think I'm trying to think around that time. What were the stronger Need for Speed titles in that era? Most Wanted.
There was some pretty bad ones too that came out.
I'm just saying, in terms of game time longevity for me, I spent more time on games like Need for Speed, Midnight Club, Blur than I did on Burnout Paradise. So again, that's just me personally. It looks like a fun game. It looks like it could have some renewed longevity based on this. I just don't know if it's going to be topping any charts. Maybe it'll top like a remaster chart, you know, best remasters of, you know, whatever, but I just don't see it, you know, I just don't see it like, you know, the excitement.
I personally think that they're testing the waters. They're working on a new Burnout game. That's what I think. They're testing the waters right now. EA probably released something like a couple years from now. So my opinion. But here's something interesting that happened today, guys. So you know, I was checking Twitter and stuff, and I noticed that a lot of people were pissed. They're mad because remember the conversation we were having in the last episode about Nintendo Direct? So this is not 100% confirmed that is going to happen on the new Nintendo Direct for this month and stuff. There's been clues here and there, and I've noticed that even Nintendo America on Twitter was like trolling, and Nintendo New York, the store on Twitter, was also trolling and stuff about this Nintendo Direct. So a lot of people are excited. They're very excited about this, right? So I emailed Nintendo's PR. Like, hey, is it fake or what? Is this true? Is it going to happen? Because you guys haven't made no announcements, right? It's just been out there that people are saying that it's going to happen. They replied back with a I don't know emoji to my email. I was like, oh my God. So I was thinking about it, right? I was thinking about it before we started recording. Mm-hmm. And I think that Nintendo are going to do the whole, you know, like you know how Beyonce just released a new album and it's like, it was just announced like that day. I think they're going to start doing that because they don't need to announce, oh, we're going to have a Nintendo Direct on this date. They don't need that, man. Because I think by them creating this surprise, it's going to create even a bigger buzz. More media is going to be talking about it and stuff, right? That's what I think. I think they're going to start doing that and also probably announce some games that's going to be available right now to download, stuff like that. You know, they've done it in the past Nintendo Directs, but I think they're going to start doing that a lot more. And honestly, Microsoft and Sony, they're not doing that at all. So why not be the first and start doing that randomly like that, man, you know? Last minute, oh yeah, we're gonna have a Nintendo Direct. I think that would be good, man. They just need to make the right announcements to get that buzz even more, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, but Nintendo of Russia, they're the only ones that they said they're gonna have a Nintendo Direct tomorrow. So, we'll see.
Your mileage may vary.
We'll see, man. We'll see. They're the only ones that say they're gonna have a Nintendo Direct, so We'll see, man. But Pete, I'm very curious about this. I know you and Paris play a lot of PC stuff, but there's an open beta coming out on January 20th by this company. It's called Rainway, that you could stream your PC games to your Xbox One and Nintendo Switch. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, I just found this out like super last minute.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of history or color on this.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know why you would want to stream a PC game. For example, like, why would I want to stream PUBG on my PC to my Xbox?
Well, that doesn't make no sense.
So follow the logic. If you've got a gaming PC, why would you want to stream it to a console, which is going to be lower performing?
Depends on the game. Like, PUBG doesn't make no sense. I could just play the regular.
Okay, so we'll take a game that's completely different from that. League of Legends. Mm-hmm.
League of Legends, that
will not work with a controller. Will not work. Yeah.
Certain games, yes. So there's a lot of.
I can see like a thumper. Like
for example, there's a.
Like if I've got a low cost, you know, and when I say low cost, I mean like low performance hit, not something that's going to really break the bank with regards to your mm-hmm. stuff. Something like that against like Thumper. Instead of playing that's it on your PC, you could play it there. So like I could see that. I just.
Like a perfect game. Perfect game. There's, you know, Grand Theft Auto, there's Cuphead that you play on the PC, play on the Nintendo Switch. Like, there's games that you could play, you know. Overwatch, you could do that on the Nintendo Switch, right? You don't need to do that for the Xbox One. You could just buy the Xbox One.
Right, but a multiplayer game like that, I don't know if you want to throw that across your network and stream it to, you know, something that's going to be low latency required. Do you really want to take the risk on trying to enjoy an Overwatch game streaming it from your PC to your console?
Again, this is free and this is open beta. Why not try it? It's not gonna hurt you to try. I think that's a cool idea. I think, because I Paris, weren't you the one that had the Steam? Was it the console? Not Steam Machine.
Steam Link. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had it connected to your TV in the living room, right?
Yeah.
That experience?
It's fine. It's fine. It's 1080p. Yeah. But like I've been saying, the NVIDIA Shield does it now via game stream and it can do it in 4K. So I stopped using it and I use NVIDIA Shield. I mean, it works fine. I mean, I was kind of saying this to Pete in Discord chat the other day. It's fine for single player. There's no issue with single player. There's really no lag that's going to hurt you single player. I wouldn't trust it for multiplayer, though, just as a rule of thumb. And this all just goes back to, you know, what was it, On Live and all that back in the day.
Oh, my God. Wait, didn't you have that, too, On Live?
Yeah, I had it.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I never tried it.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because when I went to PAX 2011, they had a big booth. And they gave me one. They gave me two of them. Matter of fact, I had two of them. And I remember playing Batman Arkham Asylum on it. And I mean, like I said, for single player, it worked fine. It's just the multiplayer stuff just never worked. And then, you know, I know this is like a free product that they're doing, but On Live was trying to charge you for it. And no.
How much were they charging? I can't remember that.
I mean, they were treating it like you were buying a game. So you literally would pay full price for a game, I believe, right? I think something like that.
Yeah.
But technically, you don't physically have the game. You're just streaming it from a server. And that was kind of the weird thing about that whole thing, that you never truly own the game. Because guess what? If On Live went away, which it did, you're SOL. You don't have the game anymore.
Man, do you think they were ahead of their time, like with the whole streaming stuff? Because I mean, now they're doing that with PlayStation Now and now other services.
Yeah, because that's and I'm blanking on the name. PlayStation Now is the other one. Starts with a G. I keep wanting to say Gama Sutra, but it's not Gama Sutra.
No, that's not it.
You know what I'm talking about? But that was the rival to OnLive because they got purchased by PlayStation, and that's the technology behind it is that. And
let me see if I could
it was just ahead of its time. Name.
Yeah,
starts with a G. I'm blanking on the name. I keep wanting to say Gama Sutra.
It's all good. It's all good. But yeah, that was very interesting. I know, was it the Shield? They had also a thing like that too, that you could stream some games and you play at the handheld and stuff through it, right? So, I mean, it's cool. I think it's a cool idea. I just don't, like, I hope to God that all these games in the future is not like that you have to stream and all that stuff. When, like, it's similar to On Live, that you purchase it but you don't own the game. No, I don't like that at all. Just let me download it.
Yeah, there it is. That's it. It was Gaikai, bought by Sony.
There you go.
Gaikai.
Thank you.
Essentially,
how much,
Sony.
How much PlayStation purchased for that company when they bought them? How much? Do you know? Because I wonder, was it worth the investment for them to do that?
I'm going to say if it was 50 cents, no. Because, I mean, on the real, it's a great piece of tech if it's just used to supplement the current PlayStation Network service, right? Mm-hmm. So, but they're trying to get people to actually spend money on this thing. And dude, there's no way I'll ever spend money you're streaming a game over the internet. And NVIDIA has their own version of this right now as well. I don't know if that's called Game Stream, where you literally stream the entire game over the internet. Dude, there's no way. I'm not buying that.
But what happened if you're out of, like, in the middle of nowhere and you want to play these games? How are you going to play these games?
Go down to Uncle Jesse's General Store and buy the game and play it in your house.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, $380 million dollars. But more for the technology and the rights, yeah, for the licensing of how they did all of that versus actually, you know, spending the money towards it.
Honestly, it's worth it. For the technology, that price is worth it. Yes, I would say so.
So let me ask you this. How many PlayStation 4 consoles already sold worldwide?
And around 70 at this point?
73.6 million. Let's say, 70 million.
Yeah, let's go around there, 70 million. Now, out of those 70 million, how many of those people are actually using PlayStation now? I bet you it's not that
Seven.
Many.
4.3
million,
43.
Seven. No, not million. Seven. Seven people.
Seven people.
And they all work for PlayStation.
Yo, I really want to know, whoever's listening to the show, if you play PlayStation now, please let us know, because I just don't see it. I don't know why would someone want to rent a game? I don't know. And is it still expensive?
I don't know, because I refuse to pay for it. I believe it's...
Oh, okay.
Isn't it... Is it $15 a month? What is... I forget. Oh, I don't know. I'm speaking of things I know nothing of. I don't know. I don't really look it up. I'm
just guessing. Just a conversation, man. Yeah, it's just a conversation.
Know. Paris knows nothing. Huh. Like, yeah, Jon Snow.
I really don't.
That's so funny.
They got a 7-day free trial. I see that.
Let's see. 7 days for seven people.
Straight out.
You can play God of War Remastered on it. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I got it right here. Look, 1 month, right, introductory offer is $9.99. And then if you get a 12-month subscription, that's $100. And that gives you access to 600 plus PlayStation 4 and PS3 games for a year. It's a limited
for one
time
year.
Offer.
It's a rental. It's a $100 rental, yeah, fee for access to their back catalog.
Oh, this what? Is the intro, but if you don't do the intro, it's normally $20 a month.
So $240 a year.
Yeah.
Yo, $20 a month? I'd rather go with Game Pass.
Which is what, $10 a month, right?
Yeah, $10 a month.
No, thank you.
$20 a month? That's insane, yo. Hell no.
No.
I can't do that. I can't do that.
I mean, again, if for single player games, I get it. But anything multiplayer, I'm not doing it. And I can't, like you just said, I cannot see spending $200+ a year to basically rent a game. Go to Gamefly. It's going to be cheaper. Same thing. What's the difference?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. They had a great opportunity with PlayStation Now. It's just the price, and they've adjusted it from what it was. It was actually more expensive than this. I know this is the cheaper model now. They had an opportunity with this, but it's just overpriced. It's just too overpriced, and no one in their right mind is going to spend the money on it. I would love to know the real numbers of what they're making a year. How many people are actually subscribing to this thing that they make a year off of PlayStation now? It cannot be much. I would put it, there's probably more people playing Lawbreakers than doing PlayStation. I'm such an a-hole. Oh my God.
That is so foul.
What is wrong with me? God. Oh my God. I'm such an a-hole. But you get what I'm saying, man. I would imagine if I had to guess monthly, 500 people a month are probably playing this thing. I'm serious.
Not worth,
I don't even think it's 1,000 people. I'm serious. 500.
Not worth it, yo. Sorry. And if they have great internet too.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing. And you better have great internet, and you better not be stuck with an ISP that puts a data cap on you, or you're screwed.
Yeah, you're or screwed. Else you got to increase your monthly payment to have it unlimited one.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Shout out to HelloFresh for sponsoring the Gamertag Radio podcast. Last month, the guys and I, we all got our HelloFresh boxes. Dude, let me tell you. I mean, for me, being the PUBG fan, when I saw the winner chicken dinner inside the box, I knew it was time to have some fun. You know, chicken breast with orzo, the one that my wife made with us, which was the figgy balsamic pork chops. Dude, so good. We even took pictures of them. We tagged them, you know, hashtag HelloFreshPics, and we put them up on Instagram. People loved it. Really, really dope. So one of the cool things about HelloFresh, and we've talked about that here on the Gamertag Radio podcast, is the convenience. Dude, it's so easy to make dinner when you already know what you're going to have. You don't have to go to the store and go hunting up and down aisles to go look for ingredients. It's all there. You're going to use what you get. There's no waste. You're using exactly everything that they provide to you because it's already pre-measured and ready to go for you. Take into account what you do when you go to the store. Half the time, if you go hungry, you just end up buying junk food, or you buy stuff that you just want on the spot, not stuff that you're going to plan out. You know, HelloFresh takes it all out of your hands, and all you got to do is order, cook it, and eat it. Obviously, cleanup is on your own. The selection and flexibility that they offer with all of their recipes that are curated by chefs. You know, you could do classic, you can do family. You can even, for vegans, you can even do a veggie meal plan. You know, it's great. You get a variety of meat, fish, seasonal produce. If you're vegetarian, you can get plant-based proteins, grains, and seasonal produce. One of the things that we had last time was this grain that me and my wife had never heard of. My wife's a chef, and she had never heard of it. It was bulgur wheat. We ended up making it. It was one of our favorite meals last year. So I'm really looking forward to trying it out. And hopefully it'll be in our meal plan coming up soon. And again, it's so easy to make because they give you step-by-step instructions to do everything. And all you got to do is go over to HelloFresh.com and use the promo code GAMERTAG30. Make sure you put GAMERTAG30 in the promo code. You'll get $30 off your first week order. And all you got to do is cook it. It's that simple, dude. The food comes in, you cook it, you eat it, you clean up. And again, if you're taking pictures of your food, like me and my wife always do, or whether we're eating at home or eating at restaurants, tag it with HelloFreshPics on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Make sure we get some of that social media reach out there. So thanks again.
Oh, but wait, you could also stream directly to your PC and PlayStation 4. So now they even have more people that have the chance for them to try, you know, these games on a PC.
I'm going to do the 7-day trial, and I'm going to report back next Wednesday. Serious. I am. I'm going to do the 7-day trial, and I'm going to give my opinion. I'm going to use it. And I'm going to do it on the PC. I'm going to literally do it on the PC. Yep.
This is the only way that you could get to play PlayStation 3 games on your PC and your PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Unless you go old school and just buy the regular old PlayStation 3 console.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I find that kind of whack that you can play your PlayStation 3 games on your PlayStation 4. I don't know. This is the only way you could play it.
I tell you what, speaking of that, when PlayStation 5 drops, if it's not backwards compatible, and it doesn't have to go back to PlayStation 3, but if it can't play PlayStation 4 games, if they lock people out from that, it's just history repeating itself all over again. Then they'll be the ones that are in second place struggling to try and catch up, because that'll be such a PR nightmare for them if they don't have PS4
games. I disagree, Paris, because they're doing pretty good, and you can't play no PlayStation 3 here at during the current of PlayStation.
Here's the 4. Difference. You can't play. Here's the difference, what? Though. You had Microsoft's debacle back in 2013, and it was $100 cheaper. That's the difference. I highly doubt Microsoft makes that mistake this time.
I hope not.
you know what I'm saying, though? But okay, let's just dive into this, because again, this is January. We don't have much to talk about. So
That's true.
So let's just say, for argument's sake, 2020, new Xbox comes out, new PlayStation comes out, same time. This is a repeat of 2013. They both come out at the same time, the press conferences, the E3, and all that. If Microsoft comes out and they're like, the new Xbox is 4K, 60 frames per second, it's $399, you can play all the way back to the original Xbox games on this thing. They got Halo 12 on it and Gears 69 and Cyberpunk 2099, all this stuff, right? I almost cursed. All this stuff right at launch, right?
Yeah.
Amazing thing. Yeah. And then PlayStation comes out 2 hours later talking about, is $500. You can only play PS5 games on it. If you want to play PS4, you keep your damn PS4, or you can use our PlayStation Now service for $250 a month. What do you think is going to happen? People are going to go buy an Xbox.
You know what? I agree. I'm afraid that, okay, usually when companies they sell a lot of units and they're number one, they get a little cocky.
They get cocky. Yeah, they do.
They get cocky, man.
And we're already we're already seeing it now with them, with some of their comments on social media and so on and so forth. So, and I think we've talked about this in the past, where we were like, okay, well, they switched sides, right? You had Sony at number two, Microsoft number one. They got comfortable and it flipped. And now Sony's doing really well. And Microsoft is trying to be the one that pulls back the number one title. So do they get too big for their britches and then it starts to flip again? And Xbox is like, we kind of thought that maybe Xbox One X would be the thing that would propel them. We kind of see that may not be the case right now. I don't know. Hmm. Honestly, Nintendo, I think, came out and were like, well, here's our Switch.
They don't really care, man. Nintendo's doing fine.
Sidetrack into the Switch, since you bring that up, because I was just thinking about this the other day. If you look at what Nintendo did going back to 2017 now with the Switch, they, and we've talked about this a little bit, it obviously was a strategic plan to front load that thing with as many heavy hitting titles as they possibly could to put Nintendo, quote unquote, back on the map, that, hey, we're back. We know what we're doing when we're making hardware. Everybody come back to Nintendo and have fun. That's kind of what 2017 was for them. And obviously the sales numbers has bared that out with it doing record numbers, you know, for console sales. I know we talked about this a little bit last week and I was thinking about it more. I do wonder what can – let's put it this way. It is virtually impossible for them to follow up what they did in 2017 and 2018. There's
impossible?
It is no way they will have. Dude, they had two Game of the Year contenders. Two. You had Zelda and Mario come out in the same year. They never do that. Right.
And a possible and a potential third one with Mario Rabbids.
Yeah, as exactly. A third party license point. Party. And then you look at Splatoon. Right. Yeah, you look at Splatoon. You just look at the game after game after game that they put out. Danny, I'm being dead serious. This ain't jokes or nothing. What could they possibly they can't top it.
And Mega Man Donkey Kong.
But Mega Man's not. It's but, not but, their, then, but, it's but not here's
the
exclusive.
Problem. But here's the problem. At some point, Nintendo has to slow down on their classic IPs. They can't just shoot them all out in the first 3 years and go, all right, now what? You know,
look, if you think about it, Little Paris, from March all the way to December, they had one major exclusive every single month throughout the whole 2017. That's what I think that this Nintendo Direct is. It might be.
They can't do that again. Super important. Is my point. They're not going to be able to keep that momentum going. No,
don't sleep, man.
In the history of video gamedom, when has that ever happened?
Paris, I could see them doing that again.
Oh my God.
Now, okay. The part that's going to be hard is having two Game of the Years, maybe even three Game of the Years in 1 year. That's going to be tough. But they could easily have big titles, big exclusive titles almost every month from now all the way to December. I can see that. And also make some deals with third-party companies for them to also release those games on the Switch. I can see that, man. I'm telling you, people were sleeping on the Switch when I was talking about it, and I even pre-ordered it. A lot of people were like, I don't like the design. I don't know. It's not too powerful. I'll wait. There's no games. I was like, all right. The Switch came out, Zelda, great game. Then they added Mario Kart, great game. They've added a bunch of games, and now everybody's like, oh, okay, now Nintendo's back. I'm telling you, they're going to have big announcements for 2018, man. Don't sleep on them, man. Don't sleep.
No, I'm not saying they can't have a big announcement. I'm saying there's no way they can top all the hits that they had coming out in 2017. That's what I'm saying.
They had a hardware and two IP releases in a six-month span. We're not even talking when January to March, and then what is it? After Odyssey launched in September, October to December, just in a 6 month span, you had a console and two IPs considered Game of the Year. That's hitting the unicorn in stride right there.
Oh man. Your thoughts, guys. Everybody's listening to this. Please let us know your opinion. I think they could do it. I think they could do it again for 2018. We'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if they.
Okay, but
the question 1A is, and I think we already kind of know with Microsoft, does Sony have it in them to release two games with the potential to be first party IPs and considered Game of the Year?
Yes. Two in the year?
Yes. God of War and Spider-Man, right off the top of my head.
I could see Spider-Man. I don't know about God of War Game of the Year.
I swap it. I think God of War. I don't know about Spider-Man.
What, Pete? Oh, man.
I don't know. Ooh. Hey, I'm just saying. God of War has an extensive history. People are going to flock to that title just based on that alone. Not including new people who have never been, who have never played a God of War game. Spider-Man is going to be a simply because it doesn't.
I think you're saying that because you're a comic book fan, so you're trying to be as picky as hell with that game. I think that's what it is.
Spider-Man is easily setting up to be their game for 2018.
Yep.
I mean, that's just the way it's being marketed. If you look at it, I don't expect to see Spider-Man until this holiday because I think they feel that IP, that name is going to be big enough to go up against Call of Duty, Halo, and anything else that comes out. That's what I think.
I think that's going to be one of the biggest games of this year, I think.
I agree.
As of right now. Hands down. Now, what is it that Nintendo's going to have this holiday season? That's the question I have. And also Xbox. I know we talked about this a lot.
And that's the question. I don't know if Xbox has a title coming out first party in 2018. You could say Crackdown all day long and see if these.
Whoa. I never said Crackdown. What are you talking about?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying in general. I'm not saying Danny Pena, you know, January 10th, 2018. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you can try and say that Crackdown is going to be. Let's be realistic. Crackdown 3 is not going to be the system or game seller that they think it's going to be.
I'm going to make a bold prediction right now.
Here we go.
No, here it goes. Jesus.
Here we go.
Hey, darling. This is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. You hear me?
Roll the tape.
Crackdown 3 is not coming out in 2018.
Oh, Paris.
I'm calling it now, man. That game doesn't see the day.
Paris Hilton.
It doesn't see the light of day in 2018.
That's pretty bold.
So you're saying you're thinking that they're going to totally say they shelved it after the debacle. Well, and then we can't even say if it's a debacle of 2017. But
you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they cancel it, yo.
I don't think they're going to cancel it because they got enough egg on their face with Fable and Scalebound. But yo. I can see it getting just like Sony's doing with Days Gone. Days Gone ain't coming out in 2018, right?
So that game is not coming out at all.
I think it's the same thing with Crackdown, dude. I think that thing gets shelved until it's right. It's probably getting a complete reboot. Look, if anything, you know, shifting this into Destiny talk. it's probably, and I kind of tweeted this, was that last week or the week before, after Jason Schreier was on a Destiny Tracker podcast and kind of revealed that when they shifted gears with Destiny 2 and Luke Smith took over, they basically had a 16-month development cycle with that game. That wasn't enough, man. Honestly, Destiny 2 should not be out yet. It should be coming out this spring. They should have done another beta in the fall, and they should have just extended Destiny 1 a little longer because people weren't complaining. As a hardcore Destiny fan, I would have rather them have delayed it again to get it right versus what we ultimately got in September.
Do you think it could have been a title that sustained itself long enough for that time period, though? No DLC, no anything. You think people would have...
What Destiny 1? People, yeah. The hardcore would have been patient. We would have understood.
Enough, though?
Yeah. I mean, because they gave us all the raids again, you know, I'd started playing Trials and stuff like that. I would have been fine still playing Destiny 1 up until
now. There's people still playing that game now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a lot Destiny of people 1? Have gone back to Destiny 1 because that's really? Just how broken Destiny 2 is right now. Yeah. Yeah, that's real talk. Speaking of, since I know we're all over the place on this, you know, I know
It's January, folks.
Well, no, I kind of said this a few weeks ago when they had the big blog post to kind of talk about it. But actually, this one coming Thursday, which, you know, his podcast is out on Thursday, so it's probably today. The blog post that they're going to have today, and they've really been hyping it. Deej has been saying a lot. Chris Barrett, the game director's been saying a lot. Cosmo is back. He's been saying a lot on Twitter. They're hyping this as this is the blog post that you guys want to read because they're literally going to give us the roadmap for 2018 on the changes and just the direction that the game is going to go. And literally the stake of the IP is at stake right now, because if they F this up, people are gone. Like me personally, I've not touched Destiny since the holiday. I didn't play the holiday that you've break
played,
at all.
The fact that you've played more PUBG than Destiny 2 over the last month says a lot.
Yeah.
It says a lot. But to me, I'm not a hardcore Destiny guy, Destiny fan like you guys.
Right. We'll be talking about this all day Sunday.
No, but I'm just saying that I enjoy Destiny 2. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what was it that everybody's like really pissed off about the game? Like, I enjoyed it, and that was one of the things that you guys wanted me to be more of a fan of Destiny, and I truly like that game.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with Destiny 2. I can tell you right now, it's pretty simple.
They catered to the Dannys.
Yeah, well, that too. They catered way too much to the casual audience, number one. Number two, there isn't an in-game right now. And number three, you simply have nothing to chase. They took a lot of cosmetic items that we were chasing in Destiny 1, and they shoved them all into Eververse. And that was the other thing that came out during that Jason Schreier podcast where, and look, this is true, not true, whatever, perception is reality, that Bungie created Eververse and really started pushing it because they couldn't keep up with the demand for content, you know, and that was a way for them to keep making money off of the game. So I'll say this right now, whatever they say in this blog post better include de-emphasizing Eververse. It has to, because Eververse has alienated so many people with Destiny 2, because all of those things that we used to grind for and chase, they now threw into the stupid RNG of Eververse, aka go spend money if you want a better chance at getting this. And that's not what Destiny is supposed to be about. It just isn't. Look, the raids are still fantastic in Destiny 2. If you play the raids, they're great. I do not like what they did with Trials. None of the in-game weapons and gear that used to be great about Destiny, like you would grind the raids over and over because you wanted the full raid set, because there were perks and things from the armor set and the raid weapons that were valuable to you, right? Mm-hmm. There were perks and things with the Trials gear that you wanted to grind to get. Going to the lighthouse was a badge of honor because a very small percentage of people could actually get to the lighthouse, you know, in Destiny 1. Hell, I didn't even get to the damn lighthouse to basically the end.
It was less people finished. Less people went to the lighthouse than finished the raid, if I'm not
exactly
mistaken.
Exactly.
That's how much, and that was a small percentage in and of itself.
Yeah, and that was the whole point, was you can still have a game that casual people can pick up and play. Look, the actual, if you just play through the campaign of Destiny 2, it's freaking great as a casual experience, right? But once you get to that end game, it's supposed to be for people like me. That's supposed to be for people that want to run the raid multiple times, that want to chase gear and do all this stuff. And whoever the hell made that decision at Bungie, they screwed it up, because they alienated the people that were the lifeblood of that game. And that was the hardcore people. We were the people that stuck around back in 2014, you know, when the game was broken then, because we love Vault of Glass. We were chasing that gear. We wanted Mythic Class, things like that, you know, and the game obviously got progressively better over a 3-year period. Taken King was obviously a huge milestone in the game's, you know, life in this development. And right now they need a Taken King. They need something that's going to change what Destiny 2 currently is. And that's what has people so miffed, because you figured, all right, they had 3 years of data and information from Destiny 1. They're literally going to keep all that information and just build on it. They've stripped all of it out for Destiny 2, which made no sense to anybody. And even when I went to Bungie and I played the game and I reviewed it, they didn't let us get to the end game. So we didn't get to see that. We only saw the campaign stuff. So I'm like, oh man, it's going to be great and get the end game. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And then I got to the end game and I'm like, well, wait, what do you mean? Raid?
That was next.
What do you mean? The raid gun that I got and the raid armor is useless. And it's just the same as if any other armor I would get in the game. That's the thing they got to fix. They have to make certain weapons and gear for your special again. And right now they just don't. So we'll see.
So the question, and look,
let me say this one last thing for your question. And let's be clear. I'm still a huge fan of the game. It's one of those things where you criticize the thing that you love because you want it to be better. I want Destiny to get fixed, because hell, I want to go back and just have Destiny wife problems again. Look, I have happy wife problems right now because everything's great.
Because I don't play.
So question, because I know, like you said, right, we both said Destiny 2 caters more to the casual crowd, and Danny really liked Destiny 2. Danny, when was the last time you played Destiny 2?
It's been a while. I think since November, the end of November.
And what was the reason, if you have one? If you don't, you don't even have to answer the question. What was the reason for the drop off? You just got bored?
Nintendo Switch, Mario Odyssey, and Xenoblade. Nintendo Switch, basically.
It wasn't enough to hold your attention.
No, it wasn't. Beyond. You know me, dude. Like, I always move on.
And that's the thing.
I will go back if there's anything new. I'll go back and try it out, play as much as I can, then go. Like right now, I'm playing a lot of PUBG on my Xbox. And Pete, the conversation we were having, I'm sorry, I'm changing the subject here, but the conversation that we were having about PUBG, yo, they're sending updates almost every week now, ever since the game got released.
Yeah, for the
for Xbox.
Mostly for the Xbox. That's dope. And I talked about this on the Discord channel. I'm kind of miffed about the amount of changes that PUBG is making towards catering to the Xbox crowd, like increasing the amount of damage or lowering the amount of damage that could be absorbed by vehicles, because people were complaining that people were using the car in the end game when you're in those final circles. That's just part of the game. Why? And it's going to make it that much more difficult later on down the line when they truly go to converge the game code into one single platform or one single code base for PC and one single code base for, you know, essentially the same code base for PC and console, because then you've got different rule sets and you break things as a result. Make it the same for everybody. Anyways, whatever. I didn't want to make this into a PUBG conversation. Yeah. It's funny,
but no, that's the reason. That's the reason I stopped playing Destiny 2, Pete, because all these games is out. And dude, it's like, I don't want to be stuck just playing one game. I'm just gonna go and play everything, especially, you know, that I'm gonna start traveling again. I have the Nintendo Switch. I'm gonna start playing, and who knows? I hope they announce some virtual console stuff, man. I wanna play some old school stuff. And actually, I was playing my Super NES Classic the other day. I was playing some Final Fantasy III. What up?
Yeah, I mean, hell, even I've moved temporarily. I mean, I spent 6 hours last night playing The Division.
Oh, another game I forgot to mention, Assassin's Creed Origins. That, Wolfenstein 2, that was another one. Forgot about that, man.
Yeah, so. And so, like, I went back into The Division last night, spent almost 6 hours playing.
Same here. I mean, I just started playing it again. And I was doing a lot of missions too.
The new update, granted, I'm playing on PC, so I'm essentially starting from scratch, right? And I played with a couple of the people from the Discord community. Shout out
That's
to them.
Dope. That's dope. You know,
it was like starting all over again, but having familiarity enough to remember things like, oh, I had to do this one mission. I remembered how to do the mission. It was going in and playing on PC and having to relearn the mappings of where the keys do and what things, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I'm still low level. I'm only level 7, so I'm not able to get up to do things like, you know, things from the 1.8, you know, update. I can't do the underground. I can't do anything else.
You could do the underground.
I mean, I could, if I jumped over to my Xbox, I could go do it, but I wanted to try it on PC, and I'm going to try to start streaming some of that gameplay because I want to do, and when Paris has an opportunity, him and I have talked about this. We want to do, you know, a co-stream of him jumping in, you know, him and I playing together and trying to get that perspective of someone who was, let's be straight up, you were kind of anti-Division for a long time. It had its, and you had your reasons, and they were warranted, because for a while it had a phenomenal, you know, increase in sales, one of the best sales for the beginning of a game release in Ubisoft history, and then it had that market drop in massive decline. But as we've seen from Ubisoft. That's kind of, and it's not the increase and drop off that I'm trying to talk to or I'm alluding to. It's more the how they're caring and feeding a specific title and adding services. We saw it with Wildlands. We saw it with Siege. We're seeing it with The Division. We're seeing it with For Honor. That program that they've essentially, you know, laid out, that roadmap for all of their titles. I mean, hell, it got me back into The Division for, you know, a title I haven't played in a year, and it had me jumping in to go play it and got me excited. Hell, I'm wearing the watch. I got the backpack back in action. I mean, I'm in.
But it was something that Paris said from the beginning when he got to see this game with you, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about the end game.
He right.
was questioning that a lot, and he was right. Everybody finished, then what? You know, but now, throughout time, now they've been adding stuff, man. So that's good, you know. But What happened?
No, parents are showing off. You know, he's got the, you know, they're showing off the collector's edition box that we all got, right? So,
yeah, I got it. You know, so, I got
so,
my suit.
So, we all got the watch. We all got the Division watch. It lights up the whole nine. But yeah, I mean, it's that program that Ubisoft has now, that care and feeding of their IPs to ensure that their lifespan is longer than that first 2 or 3 month span that we saw affect Destiny, right? We saw what happens when you have a title that hits that stumbling block, and if it doesn't have something that can move forward, now we're starting to see that. And Ubisoft now has this template that they've laid out for all of their IPs that says, okay, you got the base game, we're just gonna keep caring fee, we're just gonna keep giving you content. And I mean, right now the Division, it took a long time to get to where 1.8 finally dropped and resolved a lot of issues, and it's a lot of fun for a lot of people. But like Rainbow Six Siege right now, that's like their flag bearer for longevity of a title, and just getting better and better and better and better, and just keep on.
I gotta get that game.
Dude, it's good stuff. And you know, we've got, you know, and then Ubisoft has Far Cry 5 coming out in a couple of months, so that's gonna be real interesting to see how that plays out.
One thing to end this with, because CES is going on right now, so we should bring this up, Pete. And we can talk about it more on Sunday if we want, because we can do whatever we want, because Danny won't be there. But NVIDIA
Blackout.
NVIDIA with that 65-inch 120 hertz 4K HDR panel.
1 millisecond response time.
Yeah. Oh my sweet Jesus. Okay. So right now, if you had to put your life on it, how much is that thing?
$7,500.
Ooh, good googly moogly. I wasn't even gonna say that much. I was gonna say $3,500 minimum.
Dude.
And it's G-Sync too.
Yeah, and it's G-Sync. 120. Yeah. I mean, you see the price premium when you're trying to go for a 24, 27 inch monitor. 65? Three times the size?
I know.
Didn't they show 8K? Wasn't like an 8K TV too, supposedly?
Well, yeah, there's 8K TVs at CES right now.
I mean, and we've seen large scale TVs kind of similar to that vein. We saw the 120 inch a couple of years ago at CES from LG. That was like $100,000.
I mean, it can't be that much, for the simple fact that who the hell are you marketing this towards? I can at least see some gamers in their head justifying spending $3,000, $3,500 on that kind of panel. But dude, you get above $5,000. I mean, OLEDs aren't even that much anymore. You know, I don't know. I would hope it's not that much. And I'll say this for the record: if it was about $2,500, I might have to go scoop one up.
He's so serious.
Hey, you know, I gotta look quiet because somebody didn't hear me.
Uh-huh. Next thing you know, wife is gonna come popping in. What you talking about?
$2,500?
Yo, parents get shanked on the stream.
Oh man!
But you know what's funny about that, though? All jokes aside, I was thinking about that. I was like, oh man, I would love that. But then I would never play. I would never play games on it because, dude, I don't play out in the living room. I play in here, and I ain't putting a 65-inch TV in here.
That's huge. That's a pretty big TV, man. God, man. Woo. By the way, you heard about the blackout with the CES? That was pretty interesting and stuff. So, all right. All right. So head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Go over there, listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And that's it, man. We'll be back here this Sunday, 9:30 a.m. You can watch us live on Twitch, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Watch it live, and that's about it. All right, so we're out. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.